You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, let's talk about MLS because that's why we're here.
Yes, let's start with some of the results from the weekend.
We're not going to go over each result, are we?
Did I say all of them? Because I said some of them.
So let's go over the results. And I'm like, please, let's not be one of those people that spends 20 minutes going over points that they could look up. Actually, here's what I'm more interested in. Let's talk about Austin FC. For the second week in a row, they have scored five goals.
Yes.
So if you're keeping track, Christian and I are wearing kits from our favorite club, the club that pays us in parking spots, New York City Football Club. They have played two matches, have scored zero goals. Austin FC have played two matches, and they have scored 10 goals.
Right.
Is this really who they are? Is Sebastian Driussi really this incredible? Mm-hmm. Or is this just Cincinnati big trash and Miami also big trash?
Okay, so first, I would say I'm comfortable with, you know, labeling Cincinnati still being big trash, big old basura, right?
Oh, we're going to go over the basura rankings right now.
Basura rankings, they're stacking up.
And we ain't recycling, folks.
So last week it was like, look, it's a shame that Cincinnati with the stadium, and they have a couple decent guys. They have a couple decent players. So the fact that they can't figure it out, there's clearly something up. And, you know, we've always heard like murmurings of just simply, you know, the culture around the team, you know, just the, kind of quoting Carly Lloyd, the culture of the team is a little bit.
We mean it in a different way than she did, though.
We should talk about that because we're getting a lot of heat for our take on.
From
on
who?
We'll get back to
TikTok,
the internet, bro. No. Yeah, the YouTube comments, people are going off. Anyway, so I'm comfortable. Cincinnati, yeah, they're bad, and I don't know what it's going to take to change that. It seems strange for an expansion team with as much, you know, support as they're getting. The games are pretty much full. The stadium is absolutely gorgeous, and for them not to be able to like figure kind of just even just what their identity is or how to play, it looks really, really bad. So whatever, Cincinnati has to do, they have to figure out their own thing.
Thomas 1964 said Jeff Cameron's culture seems to be fine. I couldn't be happier watching someone lose more than Jeff Cameron, by the way. Is it too late or is it too early for Cincinnati to just scrap this whole thing? Did you hear that FIFA is going to allow an additional transfer window for Ukrainian and Russian players of the Ukrainian and Russian leagues to be able to leave without any repercussions?
Yes, I did see that.
Okay, now, if you're Cincinnati, do you just say, look, guys, we'll charter the flight. CSKA Moscow. You're now FC Cincinnati.
Right, right.
We're taking all of
St. Petersburg. Can we just buy the team and just relocate Cincinnati, Ohio?
You're going to wear new clothing. I promise you it will be a safer place right now, possibly.
Right.
But think about that. Why not just sort of scrap the whole thing and start fresh if you're FC Cincinnati? Look, they went out and spent money. They made big signings, and it still ain't working.
Well, they got a new who's the coach now? I mean, it's been like seven coaches in like just 2-3 years.
Actually, I'm going to Google. I'm going to Bing FC Cincinnati coach this week.
Because it's a revolving door.
At noon it's hard at the moment.
It's hard to say what exactly they need to like fix. I mean, they're just overall bad. They played better against DC, but they gave up a late penalty in like the 93rd minute to lose the game. So it, the problem with Cincinnati is really the morale is brutally low.
Nitra M said Cincinnati Shakhtar FC. Buddy, how much MLS teams love a rebrand, you know? Actually, Donetsk is the city, so it'd be Shakhtar Cincinnati. I'm down.
Yeah, dude. I love it. I'm sure the conservatives in Southern Ohio will love that.
They'll be like, the what?
You know? Tim Elliott put, start fresh, just like Miami.
It doesn't always work. So it doesn't always work.
Miami. So, okay. So, obviously, they lost to Austin. Phil Neville... Really, I don't know what he's I don't know what he has planned out there. There was an interesting
during the game. He's just Googling the cars he wants to buy with the money he's making.
There was a quote from David Beckham fairly recently where they were asking him, like, you know, how is Gonzalo Higuain adapted to the league and all of a sudden to the team? And he was like, things will be a lot better with me and Gonzalo if he starts scoring a bunch of goals. So just even saying that, you're like, all right, okay, so clearly there's something wrong. There's some issue. And then
that's like saying, how's your marriage? Cool, if she wasn't such a nag, right? You'd be like, okay, I don't think it's going well over in the Johnson house, you know?
I don't mean to get in your business, but I feel like that was a tell.
Yeah. I'm just going to let you know, the next time somebody asks, you might not want to answer this way, especially with her right there.
So that was sort of all but confirmed after Fabian Herbers of Chicago Fire and Julian Gressel of DC United. They're both Germans. They're homies. They started a podcast I think 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. The ZZ Soccer Pod.
No, it's just Z Pod. Z Soccer Pod.
Okay. So leaning in. To their
you out here German, making it way fancier than it actually is. ZZ Soccer Pod.
Yeah, I thought it was ZZ Top.
Anyway, yeah, they're big fans of, what is that, 80s, 70s music?
So there was a, I should just play the clip because it was really that incredible, just in case anybody didn't hear it. But Julian was asking Fabian about playing Chicago Fire in the home opener for Miami. They play Chicago, and who was it? And then Julian asked Fabian, did you ask for Gonzalo Higuain's jersey? And he responded by saying, fuck that guy. Okay, so I was like, whoa.
So let's just go over how to subtly explain you don't like someone. I'll go first. Not that way.
Oh my goodness. So here are
Nitra. Okay. So they Americanized it to Shakhtar Cincinnati. The new Cincy song, Ole, Ole at the truck. His management style is gonna suck. Ole at the truck.
Okay, so this is a bit long of a clip, but I just want to, so you guys can hear it, at least the beginning. And we'll break down a little bit
more.
Do
you know when he says the thing he says?
It's like 15 seconds.
All right, cool.
I had for you in regards to that game, did you get Higuain's jersey this time?
No, fuck that guy, man.
Okay.
I don't think you need any more context.
So this is essentially the this is not a thing we're used to seeing publicly. And now, you know, from our perspective, look, we've been doing this show for several years. We've interviewed countless players, and off the mic, this is how players talk sometimes. There's a couple of people we've spoken to that are like, oh, what was it like playing with this person or against this person? And they say, oh, fuck that guy, man, or whatever. Or even if it's an NWSL player, they're like, I can't stand her.
Or
whatever.
Everybody's if it's like a DP on their team, they'd be like, yeah, I know he sells tickets, but fuck that guy. Like, they're straight up, if you really talk to players, they'll let go. Never with microphones in their faces, though.
So that part of it was pretty incredible. And shouts to Douglas of the Ngali Squad, who also is we're producing this show now, so congrats to him. But the so that he was the first person I saw retweet it, and I'm like, yo, this is how now this was also in Bleacher Report picked it up, and then as soon as Bleacher Report picked it up, everybody. You see Fabian Herbers in the little circle there saying, F that guy, man. This guy's so pathetic.
Look at the phone that they picked the Fabian Herbers. It looks like he just said it.
Yeah, they look like arch enemies in these photos. And then in the same clip, he also went on to say, obviously, he's a presence on the field, and every time a teammate of his makes a wrong pass or something or doesn't pass the ball exactly to him, he's just standing over there looking in a negative mood. He went on to say his body language is just terrible. I wouldn't want to be a teammate of his. I'm over it. F that guy. I want nothing, no part of it. And then the last thing was, in the first game already, he's so negative, so destructive. So negative towards your own teammates who you're supposed to try to help. So this is pretty incredible.
Well, I can tell you, I'm happy that we already picked the name No Cap Recap
because there's several players that now have podcasts and athletes having their their own outlet, which is great, and it's a thing you love to see. We get access to their feelings and thoughts more than we ever have, even 15, 20 years ago. So that part of it is cool. But there's no way that this doesn't cause some kind of an issue somewhere down the line, whether it's playing Chicago when they play in Miami again. They play, I looked it up. It's like they play in like September. I'm like, I gotta watch this game. This game's gonna be interesting. And then when Bleacher Report picks it up, obviously more people know Gonzalo Higuain. He's won Champions League. He's won leagues in several different countries. The guy is a legend. Nobody's taking anything away from that.
Well, but he's a big name. I'm not gonna give him legend. I don't think anyone's gonna give him legend.
There's something to be said about the not even just like retirement league. Right, like when MLS gets that moniker, but when you're a big name player on a high wage and is coming to MLS, not only do you have to like earn your paycheck by like producing, but you gotta be a good teammate, right? Like you really have to show a level of leadership that a player on the opposing team is already noticing the lack of chemistry on your team and is so comfortable calling you out. There's something that, look, we've all seen it. And Gonzalo he gets frustrated. We saw the Philadelphia Union got into that big scuffle when he missed that penalty. Like I didn't think this when he first got here, but he seems like a dude that nobody really likes. That's what I'm getting from mutual. Fabian Herbers.
It also feels like it's mutual. He doesn't seem like he enjoys being here either.
Mm. I don't know about that. I mean, maybe he doesn't like
the teammates
he's
playing with.
Oh, so
you're just going to make broad assumptions on everything else, but when I do it, you're going to say you don't know about it?
No. You said he doesn't like being here.
Yeah.
I'm saying he might not like being in Miami or playing with the players in Miami. That's what I'm trying to like. That's how I interpret it, at the very least. It doesn't seem like he is like an awful person by any means. But look, maybe he's not the best teammate in the world. And the fact that he comes to MLS and by him like having the negative body language, that doesn't make the league look good. It doesn't make Miami look good. And Miami,
I don't think
they already have.
He thinks he's bigger than the league anyway. And I'm not saying this in a disrespectful. I'm not saying in a disrespectful way. I'm saying he's a big name. He thinks I'm coming here. I deserve the Zlatan treatment. I deserve the David Beckham treatment. I wouldn't suggest he is those players, but in his head, I'm sure he feels like, whatever, I'm a big name. Beckham called me. That's how I got here. You know what I mean? They should be treating me with respect. I mean, it's kind of telling when he said, I thought I could come here and play with cigarettes. Remember, he said, I thought I could be able to smoke cigarettes during the game, which I know he was in jest, but it kind of gave you an insight into the kind of person that he was, or certainly where his mind was when he got here. He thought he was bigger and better than the league, and he's gotten here, and he's been playing in humidity. He's got a bunch of Cuban people yelling at him. It's not going the way he thought it was going to go.
Voluminous said, Wayne Rooney greater than Gonzalo Higuain, right? Like, the attitude. I just think there's something to that as well. Like, maybe if Gonzalo Higuain was not, you know, he's not scoring goals every week, but if he was, like, a good teammate and positive and uplifting and supporting, I think this is...
Yeah, and
this
if my grandmother had a dick, she'd be my grandfather. I don't know what you're saying. It doesn't make sense, dude. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Who cares if he did this, if he did that? He's not that guy. He wasn't that guy in Napoli. He wasn't that guy with the Argentina team. What makes you think he's going to be that in Miami? All of a sudden, he's going to become a great showman. He looks like a movie villain from the 80s, and he's acting one.
So then that's on Miami for signing him. They shouldn't have signed him.
Well, look.
If this is the type of teammate he is.
You forget, I love MLS, okay? Absolutely adore this league. I think it's going to be huge. I can't wait for it to continue to grow. And I'm glad that Christian and I have been able to be a part of it as long as we have, and will continue to be a part of it in one way. Maybe we've helped adjust or shift the culture just a little bit, or bring some other people in that normally wouldn't be a fan of MLS. I hope we did that. But let's be completely honest. The biggest signing of this last offseason, we would say, is Insigne, right?
Yes.
Huge, huge, huge signing. The captain of Napoli, 31 years old, won the Euros, looks incredible, won't have to play in the World Cup because Italy's not going to make it. Just what a perfect signing, right? Now, how did that signing come about? Was Insigne someone who said, you know what? Man, I've been talking to some of the guys who went over there and played. I've been talking to Giovinco, and I need to be in MLS. Is that what happened? No. The insight we got is that the general manager of Toronto FC went on transfer market and looked up players whose contracts were over and reached out to them.
Dude, yeah, the GM of Toronto looks at transfer market the way we bing.
He binged it.
We just whatever shows up. It's not even always the results that we're looking for. But you know what? We'll state it as fact.
Every once in a while, my wife's favorite pie is a chocolate kind of cream pie. It's almost like a chocolate pudding essentially with like a whipped cream on top. It's very simple, very popular in the South, very hard to find in New York. So every once in a while, I will Google chocolate cream pie. And then I'll put the safe search on because, God forbid, you gotta see what comes up. You gotta see what comes up.
You're looking for desserts in incognito mode. That's weird.
I know. Also, why are you in the corner, Alexis, with your pants off? No, I shut up. I'm looking at pies. Imagine it is actual pies. I'm still drinking off the pies. whatchamacallit? I'll look that up. I'll Google it, and then I'll find restaurants that have it on their menu, and then I'll go to one of them. The way I find dessert is the way Toronto FC found their most recent designated player.
Right. But he hasn't played yet, so we don't know.
Well, yes.
It is a big signing, and it is a big deal.
Doesn't matter. But it's the biggest signing of the transfer window.
Sure, I'm not taking that away. But, you know, when Gonzalo got here, that was also a big deal.
Thomas 1964 said, yo, this American Pie reboot is wild. It had nothing to do with a girl. Okay. It was he bangs the girl like it was a pie. It's such a reverse.
You're just chasing this pie for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nick Red says, safe search for pies and Dom Boire's hometown.
Come on, you white bellies.
What are the Cuckfield pies looking like nowadays?
Yo, Manchester Sandu, thanks for hanging out with us, baby.
Appreciate it. It's unfortunate. I mean, I think the it's interesting. I like hearing Fabian Herbers his take on this because he's been playing in MLS for several years. He's an MLS veteran and he has a lot of experience with this league. And I think there's a he's a great person that understands like this is how teams generally are. This is how kind of the culture of a team or like, you know, the, you know, we know that you know, the MLS doesn't have the rosters of like Premier League teams and Serie A teams. So what the thing that balances it a little bit is like, you know, gumption and support and like energy and positivity. And when a big name player arrives and demands respect but doesn't give that to his teammates, I could see why he would be offended. Even he's like offended just as an MLS player. He's like, bro, you shouldn't even be in my league if you're gonna come with this attitude. And he's almost like he feels bad for Gonzalo's teammates on Miami. Like, yo, this, I feel bad that you gotta play with this dude. That's how I took it.
Yeah, I could see why you would take it that way, and I think that's fair. But also, I mean, what are you gonna, you know, what are you gonna tell Higuain? Yo, you need to be more humble. He'd be like, since when?
Well, then that's, and I think that's why David Beckham's comments come into play here, because he's like, by saying like, if he scores a bunch of goals, things will be a lot better between me and him. Kind of suggests we have some issues, but he could resolve them very easily if he just gave me a 20 goal season. That's how I took that.
It's what you're paying for. So, you know, if I went to get that chocolate cream pie and they actually brought out a chocolate cream pie, I'm like, I don't think you understood what I asked for here, folks.
Okay. A couple other results that we got to talk about: Charlotte against LA Galaxy. An incredible game. The highest attendance for an MLS game. It was 74, a little under 75,000, 74,000 and like 900 something. They couldn't jam 50 more people in there. You just get a cool 75.
But they showed up to see what?
Look, Charlotte, they weren't terrible. They definitely played better than they did against DC. But they you can tell like the roster's like just not completely finished.
It's the other thing.
The quality.
The roster, yeah. And you can see that the tactical sense of what the team wants to do and how they want to play, and maybe it's just because it's the roster they have, it looks like it'll be a fun team to watch, right? But if you're out of those 75,000, let's just call it 75K, what percentage do you think are actual soccer fans? Like actual fans of the sport, not just like, yo, there's this cool new thing happening in Charlotte, we gotta go check it out.
Oh, I don't.
Just guess.
I mean, I'm gonna guess that it's kind of like Atlanta, and yeah, they don't have the full, you know, they close the top rows, but they still get like 45,000. So I'm like probably about like 40,000 to 45,000 are probably like dedicated fans.
Okay, you know, let's call it 25 that aren't. That are just casual.
Sure.
What do you think what did they see that would make them want to come back?
I mean, the environment was incredible. The energy was great. The opening video was great. They had a show. I thought it was good. I mean, look, and then they got to see a goal. Not for Charlotte. It would have been nice to see a goal for Charlotte. But the goal they got to see was an absolute banger, a golazo from Efrain Alvarez, and so it was entertaining. That was their first MLS match at home. I think it was Jalen Lindsay. There was a photo of him just sitting on the center of the pitch because he's from North Carolina. Charlotte is in North Carolina.
Yes.
North Dakota, isn't it?
Yep.
Anyway,
yay, Andrew Campbell! Thank you for hitting the subscribe button, baby.
Appreciate
we got it, a yeah. couple. John Torres said, "Vamos, CLTFC." You guys got to change Adam, if you're going to have a woman's team. I just got to let you know that it's going to seem rude.
Adam Casilla said, "The fact that 74,000 found the CLT, it's look more than most.
Yeah, you know, if you know what you're looking for, numbers. It's bigger than you think." Freddie Alacon said, "Atlanta fans yelling, stop the count with the attendance number."
So, look, I think they signed a designated player. I forgot his name, but they have somebody coming soon. I thought they were okay. The Galaxy are pretty good. The Galaxy probably should have closed this game out a lot sooner. But the keeper made a bunch of great saves. Look, anytime there's a new MLS team that is successful, I get excited about it. You know, when we were in Charlotte for Arsenal Fiorentina and the Megan Rapinoe interview and stuff like that. When we were there for that, they were this was 2 years or something before I think the team was announced. Hey, Crimson Pizza,
whoa,
thank you so much.
Your boy got a promotion, Crimson Pizza said. The Cooligans of the community on the come up. Let's go. Congrats on the promotion, baby.
Thank you so much for the super chat. Much appreciated. And congrats.
Dude, sure. He's getting promoted while Everton are going to get relegated. Isn't that incredible? Same year.
Okay. So yeah, like I was saying, Charlotte succeeding, even just for a new MLS team to get a lot more fans. And, you know, we have another successful, potentially successful market. I love to see it. John Torres said, Christian Fuchs is for the moment, for our DP at the moment. Yeah. And Christian Fuchs, he's clearly an advanced age. He's the best passer on the team. That's the first thing you notice. And he's not
when he
not
switches the sides of the field. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, when you can tell he's not like uncomfortable with any pressure, and I think he's adapting well. But when your DP is like a left back in his late 30s, I mean, how much can he really, really do? They up front they just don't have
Scotty Sandelow.
With the super, thank you so much for the love.
Buddy, thank you for hanging out. What an odd number, 999.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you.
He's trying to avoid, being in a different tax bracket.
He's like, if I just give him this much.
government won't be coming after me.
Love you, buddy. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Shout out to Scott Sandelow. Okay, so... There was somebody else that I wanted.
Crimson Pizza said, Christian, make him sound like he ran out with a cane. He's got the walker with the two tennis balls on the front.
No, but, you know, it reminds me of kind of like what Seamus Coleman is going through right now at Everton, where he's like, he's a captain, legend for the club. But the dude, he can't keep up with Premier League players anymore. Like, it's just that it is what it is. But not to say Christian Fuchs is dealing with that, but he's there's too much responsibility in these two games. He's like the most up for it, which is great to see because he was playing in USL. He was like he didn't play for like a year, I think, right? Like he was living in New York and like didn't really.
Well, he had that.
I don't think he had a club.
Yeah, he had that huge gap. His family lives here in New York City.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like living here and kind of like being an ambassador for the club. But that wasn't a full-time job either. He just kind of was like training.
Ahmed said plastic fans, LOL. And so look, this is every fan base is plastic until they're not, right? Like It's just, this is how it always is. When NYCFC first got into the league, that's all we heard. When Atlanta got into the league, that's all they, same thing. Austin is dealing with it now. But being in these environments, like this is why I'll never criticize a fan base like that in general, because whether it's a team from the original, what is it, the original, how many teams was it, 9 or 10 teams or whatever, but like even if it's like New England Revolution to Charlotte FC, like there's a lot of people in Charlotte, but the New England Revolution fans that have been there for, 26 years supporting that team. And there's a lot of people that were young children where their parents brought them to games. And now they're still supporting the team and they've had season tickets for 26 years. I respect that so much because the heartbreak, the roller coaster, especially the Revs who have been lost three MLS
Cups. You said
MLS
roller
Cups.
Coaster, right? Not Rolo?
Correct. What's a Rolo coaster?
It sounded like you said Rolo. And I was like, this guy just invent a new thing?
If Joe Whitlock said, Fuchs said a couple years ago he wants to be an NFL kicker. Could be coming soon. Oh, well, he's playing at NFL Stadium. Might be a good fit.
Crimson Pizza says they got to fix that chant, though. Which chant? He said so corny.
Which one? Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear it.
Me neither.
I don't remember it. Okay. The other a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Just the if we look at the table so far, I mean, I think if we just after two weeks of games, I'm gonna have to say, and it's not easy to say, but I think the best team in the league right now is probably the New York Rebels. Rebel are looking great.
Yeah, Lewis Morgan is no joke. The kid's got Flamala, some. The kid, Frankie Amaya. They're actually sitting him a little bit further back than he was last year. Last year he was much more advanced. And now he's all of a sudden got a bunch of assists. And I'm like, yo, calm down, guys. All it took was NYCFC winning before y'all wanted to start winning. he's leading the league. Him, Diego Fagundes, and Klimala, also of the Rebels, are leading the league with 3 assists each. So the Rebels are on fire.
Nick Red just said, freeze the table. Okay. Start the playoffs now.
Everybody wants to stop the count.
So the, the table, Rebels are in first in the Eastern Conference. They have, 7 goals, goals for? Yeah, right. 7 goals in their 2 matches. You know, they didn't score too many goals last season, but they, I was thinking once Sean Davis left, he obviously left. He didn't want to re-sign with Red Bull and signed for Nashville. He took less money to play for Nashville. Because I guess he was just done with it.
Yeah, which is kind of confusing. Isn't he from the New York, New Jersey area?
I don't know where he's originally from. Maybe he is. Yeah, he was like an academy kid, right?
Right.
I believe so. But the fact that they that without him, they arguably look better was a bit of a surprise. I think Cáceres is playing in his position, if I'm not mistaken.
But also their coach is a lot better. I believe this coach came in, a couple months before the end of the season? Struber? What's his name? What's my guy's name?
Gerhard Struber.
Gerhard. What a great name, dude. Gerhard Chocolate Cream Pie. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just reading out my Bing. Search for later. No, Struhard. Gruhard. What's the guy's name? Struber?
Justin Strudel? What are you talking about?
Wow, my brain is fried. Struber, you know, he came from the Red Bull system, and he very, very clearly had a style he wanted to play last year, didn't get a chance to really institute it, and they're looking totally different this year.
Yeah, Nick Red just said they had 1 game last year with more than 2 goals scored. They doubled it already.
Oh, look at this. Scott Sandalo said his parents are both sick, and I think he just wanted to change the scenery. Oh, that's a shame. I hope his parents are okay.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen videos of his he does like his mom is like a chef or something, or she does like cooking videos with him. Have you seen these? I remember these.
No, I'd love to.
I saw them like 2-3 years ago, and they would do like short little videos of her like cooking and making different meals and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely hope she's all right. I hope both his parents are okay. Okay. The Western Conference, real quick. I mean, it's surreal to see Austin FC in first after they were the worst in the Western Conference.
What an incredible goal differential.
Impressive stuff that they're scoring a whole bunch of goals. They played 2 teams that weren't that great. So, I mean,
hence the title of this stream. Well. You know, is it just that Cincy and Miami are trash, or is Austin really this good? But I do think what I'm seeing out of Austin is a team that could play really, really well. And I really like this Sebastian Giussi guy. What an incredible signing. He came from Zenit, if I'm not mistaken.
He came in the middle, I believe in the middle of the season last year. So that night that he has a preseason under his belt, he seems like he's adapting quite comfortably. When I went to Austin, I didn't get to see the team score a goal, but the environment, that's if for anybody here watching or listening, you get an opportunity to go to Austin, it is a great away day. I guarantee it. It is loud. The stadium is just like the right size. It's fairly small. I think it's only like about 20,000, 21,000, and it is loud.
So mad I didn't get to go.
Highly recommend it.
What was it? I was with the wife somewhere, right? Oh, LA for our anniversary. Yeah.
Boo.
Boo.
Okay. RCAB said, are Red Bulls as good as their record suggests? I think so, RCAB. I know it's hard for NYCFC fans to admit it, but I do think they're going to be really good this season. They look pretty sharp.
And here's why I want everyone to calm down, including Red Bull fans, okay? The MLS season is a very, very long season. You saw what happened with NYCFC. They went through a really rough patch, and then things picked up. It's a very long season. In fact, not something we've made up, but it's pretty well noted that the first 10 matches don't really mean anything unless you're fighting for a playoff spot at the end of the season. The first 10 matches don't really mean anything. That's really the preseason. So is Austin really this good? Is Nashville really this good? Might be, because they've kind of carried over some strong form from last season. Are the Red Bulls really this good? We'll see. It's not just about being this damn good. It's about being able to withstand an entire season of this. Can you do it? And can you pick up heat? Can you pick up momentum where it's absolutely needed? We'll see. Also, I like what Nick Red said. He goes, such a waste of a food trip, not sending Alexis to Austin. Dude, Christian ate like 2 tacos the entire time.
No, I went to Veracruz. I went there a couple times. They had great tacos. I enjoyed it very much. Okay.
All right.
Thank you for coming to.
I enjoyed it very much.
My new Food Network show. Okay. The other result that was kind of wild. I saw a little bit of this. The San Jose Columbus Crew. This one was 3-3. Columbus were up by 2 goals, and then San Jose scored Francisco Calvo, who is a guy I can't make sense of. I don't understand. He's like one of the worst defenders, and then San Jose, who give up goals for fun, bring this guy in. I don't know why they bring him in, but he scores 2 huge goals to steal a point from Columbus. This is a bad look for Columbus, especially after the first game that they had. So, I don't imagine this is a normal thing for the Crew, but I'm sure the fans are pretty bummed to give up those 2 points.
Who do you think, if you had to say now, what team do you think has surprised you the most? We're two rounds, if you will. We're 2 weeks into the season. But who surprised you the most?
Surprised me the most? Probably Red Bull. I mean, that was probably the biggest surprise. The maybe second biggest surprise. I don't know. Yeah, I've already mentioned how good I think they're playing, so. That feels like a fair answer.
Okay.
Maybe even NYCFC not scoring any goals so far.
Yeah, West Coast trip, haven't been home technically, you know what I mean? I don't think that's crazy. The West Coast trip is done. They're back home. They're playing in Hartford, Connecticut. Cuz again, CCL clearly doesn't respect Yankee Stadium, you know, or Citi Field, by the way. So, I'm not too worried, to be completely honest. I'm fine with that. I think more than anything, what I'm excited about is seeing how these teams stack up, like in the next sort of phase of MLS. Once things kind of get going, I'm really interested. Right. I'm really interested to see is Austin really this good? Because that fan base, I think it'll be fun to watch them with a good team. And I know Columbus Crew fans are not going to be happy to hear that, but I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch this team sort of play well. That fan base is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and once they sorted out some of their, like, you know, at least in these first 2 games, their, like, defensive issues. But they're a fun team to watch. They really get up and down the field. Like, they're like a vibes team, you know?
Right.
They play with, they're not here for some tactical masterclass. It is, like, legit. They you can clearly tell they're having a lot of fun. Like Diego Fagundes, like you know, these players seem to mesh so well. Like Alex Ring looks like kind of rejuvenated, and he's really showing like similar to when he was at NYCFC, but like really showing leadership while at the team. Look, I don't think Austin is a contender for to you know, I think they make the playoffs if they keep kind of playing like this. I think they might be, you know, in the 7th or 8th spot. For a playoff spot. So, Liz C said, I think the Sounders are the most surprising. Yeah, they lost the RSL 1-0 goal from Bobby Wood. That's a surprise. I think they lost in they're in CCL, right? Seattle's in CCL or no?
Yeah, I believe so. Didn't they just lose though?
Maybe they lost. Oh, so what? I'm thinking if that's the case, then I'm thinking like that's really been the main focus. Gymnastics says, I love watching ATX games when they're at home. Great example.
Yeah, they're playing. By the way, they're playing Leon today at 10 p.m.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I was right. All right. Okay, so let's move away from MLS because I do want to talk. We mentioned this at the end of the episode yesterday. But Liga MX and some of the stuff, you know, Querétaro and Atlas, they obviously, if you heard about it or seen scenes from there, obviously there was a huge brawl between opposing fans.
Horrific.
Lots of people were injured. So according to, so I was just on a shouts to Nicole Hack, who tagged me in a Twitter Spaces. Last night, so a lot of the ISC members were on a, especially, I believe his name is Julio, the guy, the LAFC guy, Echiva Mayor. I know he goes by that. We met him, the big Mexican dude, beard.
Hi, Gymnastics.
All right, Jim, take care. Super nice guy, great dude. He's always we met him at ISC, I believe in, not. Maybe before Baltimore, I forgot. Maybe Dallas. I think maybe it's Dallas where we met him. And he was hosting a Twitter space, and it was in Spanish. So there were a lot of journalists from Mexico and people who cover the league, and they were really talking. I mean, obviously, talked in general from a supporter's perspective, like what the what the problems are and why. You know, this kind of culture exists where there's like violence to this degree. But I did hear some details. I've heard 91 injured total. Something around 20 or so hospitalized, and then 17 missing. So that was the number that was pretty scary.
Jesus Christ.
Just 17, they can't find these people. So as of right now, what from the reports I've heard, and I know Felipe Cárdenas and Pablo Maurer from The Athletic just flew to Mexico to Querétaro to cover this, and so The Athletic should probably have some more details and some updates about it soon. But see, so that you know, when you hear those numbers, it's obviously a ridiculous a tragedy. And something
it's a tragedy
that's necessary.
Just completely avoidable. There was no, it was senseless. There's no reason for it. You know, if you guys want to punch each other because of a game or because you don't like each other, fine. You know, children having to get their shirts taken off them so that they don't get abused. They don't get beat up. They don't get, murdered. As they're running across the pitch, families having a, fathers hugging their kids and huddling as they're getting kicked so that the kids don't get kicked. And fans of Querétaro and Atlas having to stop their own supporters from kicking families and cameramen. And this was, someone said it in a group chat. It was a police. It was like a jail riot. It was like a jail riot. But it was involving the sport we love. And look, Wiso said it. We talked about it yesterday. He talked about we have to start to come to terms. We have to start asking ourselves some serious questions. How are we as a sport going to deal with some of the elements that are surrounding the sport? I remember watching these YouTube documentaries on especially in Europe and the Scandinavian countries, these kids that attach themselves to their favorite football team. And, they go to the stadium and someone says like, hey, man, you want a free ticket? And they're like, hey, dude, why don't you come hang out with us? And these kids who have no direction in life, all of a sudden, now they're a part of a gang. And that's really what this is. Like, you cheer for a soccer team doesn't mean you ain't a gang. You know what I mean? And now you're involved in something that's pointless. And really, to die over a shirt that, a couple millionaires are wearing, it just makes no sense to me at the end of the day. I will continue to root for this sport. I will continue to love this sport. I have essentially shunned almost all other sports out of my life because there's so much of this happening. Christian and I have turned our careers of just being stand-up comics into almost really being Cooligans first, stand-up comics second, because how much is involved in doing what we do here. So I absolutely love the sport, and I want nothing to ever come between me and the sport. I love watching it. I love the people I've met through the sport. I love the friends that we have now. I love the fans that we have, all of that. But at the same time, it's like, dude, we can't sit back and just say like, nah, it's all perfect. It isn't. And look, we could sit here and talk about some of the more nefarious financial influences in the game. We could talk about all of those things. And those things are kind of hard to take care of. This we can take care of ourselves. This right here, yeah, we can make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, if, you know, and follow, let me get his, it's his handle, but he's the El Chiva Mayor 101, but he's a great dude. He's an LAFC guy. I'm sure you've seen him on TV. He's like a capo, a great dude. But he was, I really loved, like he really does a lot of work to try to grow the supporter culture in the country. And he's Mexican, so he also talks about what's going on in Liga MX. And he had a lot of really great points about just how, kind of what you said about the, you know, just because you're a fan of a team doesn't mean that you're not, like, you know, a delinquent or something like that. And that kind of stuff just has to be rooted out of the game. But you have to root it out of the game even from the stands, from the supporter culture. Like, you have to hold people accountable and not let things, like, get out of hand.
And as horrific as those things are, dude, no head of state made, you know, asked for this violence or instigated this violence. No head of some major, you know, international oil conglomerate instigated this violence. This violence was instigated by those of us. No player instigated this violence was instigated on this side of the pitch, on our side. Yeah. We're the ones that are responsible for this shit. In the end, if you're in a stadium,
right,
we got to do more. We got to ask more of our fellow fans. You know, we've got to ask just for some. Look, I mean, you know, I can't stop people from arguing. I can't stop people even from, like, you know, light fist fights, things like that. And I'm not asking for it. Like, those things are common. They're part of life. As horrific as it is, it's a part of life. This is completely unavoidable. People are going to go to jail for life over a game.
Yeah, I believe
10 people already were arrested. I saw that.
I saw that. And but there was on somebody, and I forgot his name, but on that space last night, said something I really liked. He said, "Somos rivales, no enemigos," meaning we're rivals, but we're not enemies. And that's like a good thing to take away from you know, for what we, you know, it's obvious to most people, but that, you know, some people, the, you know, like what I didn't like, and there were already a couple questions. Some people commented in the chat and asking, like, does Mexico lose the World Cup because of this? And probably not. I don't think that's the case, but nor do I think that's necessarily the answer to resolve something like this, because, you know, whether it's with El Grito and the chant, and, like, clearly some, you know, some people, it can be like in one ear and out the other. But the thing is not to demonize the entire league or Mexicans in general, because that doesn't really help at all. But there is the, like, there were some comments, you know, people have been commenting online about it. I mean, just being like, well, the culture, kids these days, and the culture of blah, and TikTok and whatever. They talk about it like this never happened before in any other part of the world. Like, this is a common thing in the game that people have been trying to remove for decades. It's not new.
Yeah, this isn't new. And look, think back to England, you know, back with the casuals and the firms and all that. You know, this isn't new. People have died before, but, you know, there is a part of me that thought, well, that part of the game is over. You know what I mean? We're beyond that, you know?
There were a lot of really strange videos. I mean, I can't really make sense too much of it, but there was one where the I believe it was the, it might have been Querétaro fans that were trying to get into the away section, and a security guard just opened the gate. Like, maybe he was scared, maybe some, but, like, literally there's like 20 people banging on this gate trying to get to, you know, they want to fight these fans. And I'm like, what in the world would possess him to open the gate? Yeah. The only thing I can think of is maybe he's like afraid and maybe there's not enough security. So this is something clearly Liga MX has to address and think about security at games. I know temporarily they banned away fans from going to games, but it's just so heartbreaking seeing like all the different people's different accounts of like, oh, we took a photo with like a guy took a photo with his wife. And this was 10 minutes before like chaos broke out, and you know, and I was like terrified for my life, and I was trying, and that's why they ran onto the pitch, because the stands were so dangerous,
right,
that they needed to get onto the pitch to get away from everything that was
going
on. And
shouts to the stewards that were helping families kind of exit the stadium through like where the players exit a little bit quicker. And there was also a famous, yeah, I think his name is Palacios or Palos. There's like a famous Querétaro player who was in a private box, who, when things started to go south, he ran onto the pitch to try to stop Querétaro fans from getting involved in more violence. So shouts to people like that who stepped up in those situations. We hope the people that are missing are found. I mean, bodies were stripped naked. I mean, this was really horrific. It was really horrific. Don't disgusting. Look up the images.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrific. And it sucks that we have to talk about this, but hopefully, you know, things like this, we can take a look at this and then start to make the applicable changes that need to be made to get shit like this out of the game. Because it's stupid, guys. I think Freddy Alarcón said it. Dude, it's a kid's game. It's for children.
Yeah. Yeah. So
imagine dying for hungry, hungry hippos. The kid's game.
Oh, because it's a kid's game. Got it. All right, yeah. I mean, you've never played Hungry, Hungry Hippos with me, bro. It can get pretty
imagine
serious,
getting right? duffed in the face because of you made the wrong move in Monopoly, or someone didn't like that you were winning in Monopoly. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, you know, everybody who was involved doing anything, you know, criminal is captured. But yeah, it's just it was a horrible, horrible sight to see. Okay. What else should we cover before we wrap up? This is another depressing thing, but I did have this on my mind, and maybe it might be helpful to somebody. But the Stanford goalkeeper, Katie Meyer.
They didn't say, but I have a feeling it was suicide, huh?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was confirmed that she took her own life. I don't exactly know how. But her parents were on the Today Show talking about it. So you may remember her from the national championship, I believe, like 2 years ago. I think it was 2019, where she was very obviously animated every time she stopped a penalty kick, and they ended up winning the national championship. But obviously there were a lot of, especially NWSL players, really talking about kind of, you know, the struggle of being an athlete, even being a college athlete. Like there's a lot of pressure on you. There was a tweet or a comment from Bethany Balser from OL Reign, and I like what she said, where she said that, you know, it's a lot of people when they deal with you know, somebody, they experience suicide in their family or whatever, they say like check on your loved ones or whatever. And she pointed out like it's more than that, because it's people that are struggling with something can easily hide that they're struggling with something. So, you know, not to, you know, who knows exactly what you're supposed to do, but I think at least highlights like that, even probably being at Stanford, which is like a very high demand school, you can't just take a bunch of electives and, you know, get a passing grade or whatever. Like you really have to do the work. So I can imagine the amount of pressure that she was under.
But then I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is you don't know who's struggling and who isn't. So, you know, be nice to people. Yeah. And if you have people that you love in your life, call them, reach out to them, text them, maybe go see them and let them know that they're loved. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it may not be the thing that helps, but I can't believe it. I couldn't imagine it hurts to let someone in. Obviously, there's more that we should be doing, but at the very least, let people that you love know you love them. And hopefully it doesn't. And I became aware of it because Gotham FC's newest signing or drafty goalkeeper named Hansley Handcuff, I believe her name is. She used to train with her.
Right. Yeah.
So there was posted a lot of stuff when it first happened, which kind of gave me the idea that maybe she had you know, taken her own life, which is again an absolute shame, and so sorry and condolences to her family. But you know, hey, if you have someone that you love, even if you think they're doing fine, you never know what's going on in the background. Let people you know you love them.
Yeah, I mean,
Christian,
I never,
love you, bro.
I love you too, brother.
Yeah. Never thought you'd say.
it was a test. You all saw. I haven't really talked about this publicly, but I you know did lose someone to suicide last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to go into too much detail, but it was I had never experienced that before, and I mean, and it was obviously it's shocking, and you know, everybody in the family is just like it just doesn't make any sense, and I can understand and empathize with the parents. And they were on the Today Show, and it takes a lot of courage to kind of do that, especially so soon after losing their daughter. It's really, really hard. I mean, there's no other kind of like way to put it, but it's like Alexa said, like, check on people, be kind to people. Even the same thing, even athletes, like, you think you might be tweeting like, oh, this player sucks and blah, 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 but like, they see it. They literally see it. Like, it's not this thing where there's like where it's difficult to come in contact and reach out to players. Like, there's no need to really put that kind of like negativity into the world. So that is it affected me in that way. RCAB just said in a comment said such a sad story. Even my daughter, who never talks soccer but plays, spoke to me about it. And yeah, because being going on the path to be a professional or even if you have a lot of dedication and want to go as far as you go, it takes a lot of sacrifice, takes a lot of work. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of people asking things of you. You're getting ranked by colleges and you're like, oh, how do I get better? How do I try to become a higher draft pick and all this other stuff?
Part of sports is being told constantly how you're not good enough. Yeah. It's rough. You know, we as comedians, we deal with a lot of rejection, a lot.
Look at the comment section of the Carly Lloyd Hope Solo video.
I got to check that out. Now. But I try my hardest not to read comments. But you know, we as comedians deal with a lot of rejection, tons of it, and you know, to some degree, we've kind of been desensitized to it. You ain't gonna say anything to me that I haven't already thought or been told, you know, already. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's fine. Especially to people that you know, we act, we audition. You know, you're never told you're too fat for this, you're too old for this, you're too young for this, you're too this for that, you to that. You're never told, but, you know, your agent will clue you in as to, like, why you didn't get the certain role or why they might be going a different way, things like that. So you're just...
I'm not fat enough?
Yeah, what? I know. Christian, this role is... You're just never going to play a coat rack, dude. You got to stop auditioning for it. But there's so much rejection we deal with that we're kind of fine with it, but, you know... There's a lot of people that eventually just aren't that fine with it or from the get just really can't handle it. And they move on to a different business. In a business like sports, you've worked your whole career to get to a certain point, your whole life. All you've cared about is this. And then dealing with these little, you know, sort of little, you know, bits of you're not this, you're not that, you're too slow, you're not tall enough, you're not this, you're not that. Things that possibly you can't even change can weigh on you. And I'm not saying that this had anything to do with what happened, but I'm saying that's a part of sports. So adding on top of that by saying, yeah, you are trash and you weren't good in that game, which I do from time to time. I'll say this player's not good enough, but I'm hopefully it's coming across as you're not good enough for this squad, not good enough as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the difference between like just simply criticizing a player and which I think athletes are, they can accept and embrace that kind of like criticism as opposed to personal attacks on like who they are as people and stuff like that. So I think we all kind of know the line, but you know, some people a little bit more loose with it. So yeah, obviously condolences to her family and everyone, all her friends. I'm sure there's plenty of players in college and currently in NWSL that knew her. It's just an absolutely tragic story. So
very much so.
Yeah. But, and whatever we can take from this is just to be kinder to each other. Thomas said, like when Fabian Herbert criticizes you, that's what we need. Okay, well, he's
Fabian,
holding him accountable.
Fabian, go in, buddy. I also Freddie Alagon said, now I need a live action film based off Hungry Hungry Hippos. And Nick Red said, Hungry Hungry Hippos was awesome. What a great game. There's 0 point to it, and yet I was so good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am. Hungry Hungry Hippos was tough because it was difficult to keep the board in place. You
that's
know what I mean?
There was too many people. I actually think that's part of the game.
Oh, I don't know. It's a little too chaotic for me, you know? I'm more of a Settlers of Catan kind
of
guy.
Yeah, yeah. You're more of a Parcheesi kind of a guy. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. You know, we hate to have, like, you know, bad or sad news, but this stuff happens in the game. And look, you know, if you guys ever have a problem, we're here. You know, you can talk to us in the chat.
This stuff, I mean, we're fans as well, and we're, you know, the stuff is on our mind too. So, okay, everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Just a reminder, you may be already seeing clips on YouTube, but our interview with Julian Araujo is available. We have a couple clips on YouTube, and if you want to watch the full interview, it is available on Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans or shoutstous.com. You see it right there. You've already seen some of the clips. They're fun. Okay, a couple hot takes, some USMNT Mexican national team stuff that I know that you will enjoy. And if you want to get early access to that interview, join our Patreon today. Okay,
please do. Also, shouts to Crimson Pizza for the promotion. It's just to Scott Sandler for the super chat. Thank you so much.
Well, they both gave a super chat. So,
well, yes, congrats, the super chat and the promotion. Congrats, yes.
Also, B said Christian is more the mousetrap game. That was
we talked about. I remember, didn't we?
Yeah. But I think we did a couple recently. What was the board game I played the most? Probably like Candyland. If I had to compile the amount of times I played any board game the most, probably Candyland.
When I was
Chutes and Ladders.
So this is what I was going to say. When I was a little kid and I didn't know English very well, my mom gave me this little, it looked like a miniature, like a larger Altoids tin, almost like a mini little lunchbox that had the top of it was Chutes and Ladders, and it had little magnetic pieces. It was like made of aluminum. And then little dice or whatever else you use for Chutes and Ladders. I don't remember now. I just remember the little magnetic pieces. And I used to play with that because I didn't really understand the language. And like, you know, at recess and stuff, there wasn't a lot of kids that spoke Spanish. And the ones that did also spoke English. So I spent a lot of time alone, very, very young. So I used to play that game with like sometimes teachers, sometimes other kids and stuff. So I became a big fan of Chutes and Ladders as a little kid because I had nothing else to do.
Okay, Alexis. Still has no friends.
No,
it's a sad story.
I had to start a podcast we're working on it just to get one to talk to me. It's Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders. Yeah,
I've been saying Chutes and Ladders this whole time. It's Chutes.
Not it's pronounced Chutes, like you shoot a gun or something.
I don't think you're right.
Lou D said Operation gives me anxiety hearing the damn buzzing. Remember Operation?
Oh, bro, I was so good at that game. Okay. I used to have a steady hand back in the day.
Before the war.
Well, don't say that.
Also, B said Candyland. Too many times with my kids on that. Yeah. Still a popular game. Guess Who? A classic.
Guess Who was the flipping down, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. What was that move? What was that?
You flip them down, the little tiles.
What are you doing?
Sorry. I'm looking at chocolate cream pie on my computer here.
A little too graphic. This is a show about soccer.
Yeah. D'Souza shouts to Parcheesi. Yo, Parcheesi, boy, I used to be good at that game. You set the little bridge up so people can't cross. Dude, I thought I read Art of War. You feel me? Trish Murphy said Galma. I don't think that's a game. I think she's talking about my Guess Who technique.
Uno. Oh my god.
Uno, my sister punched me in the face playing Uno.
Really?
I did one of them what is it? Like you gotta grab four or whatever.
Yeah.
I had one. She kept saying, "You got one." I said, "No, I don't have one." She got, "You got one." We played two more. She was about to go. She had two. I was like, "Fuck, I thought take 10 or whatever it was." She got so mad. She punched me and she decked me in the face. My sister hood is shit, though. So that means, you know, she punched people in the face for less.
Wow. I never fought with my brother. Not to that. He never punched me in the face.
Oh, I don't think you've ever been punched in the face. Have you?
I've told this story before, but I have been slapped in the face.
Yeah, yeah, no. You have the demeanor of someone who hasn't been punched in the face.
Right. Because I'm too charming, bro.
No, you know, see, that's it. The belief that you're it's the belief that you're charming is what I'm talking about.
I got slapped because of a joke I told on stage, which is obviously a ridiculous thing, but right. I did get slapped, and it's very stupid. I've told the story a whole bunch, but don't slap comedians for telling jokes that are literally not offensive. So anyway,
they're not.
even if it was offensive.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mentioned the Patreon. Thanks again, everybody. A few people. Should we give a couple more shout outs? We did this last time. Aussie AB, I know we cut off right before we were giving shout outs. But Aussie AB, thank you so much for joining Patreon. Shout out to Neil Gavoni as well, the homie, NYCFC fan.
We got Colin Marshall. Shouts to you, Reagan Ferranda. What a great name.
I mentioned those yesterday. I mentioned them yesterday.
Oh, did you? Anibal Roldan? Yes, so. Did you talk about Anibal?
I did not talk about Anibal.
Anibal Shasta. Go ahead.
Who's doing a show with Kelly Francis, great. Who also joined Kelly and Friends Patreon as well. Kelly and Friends, so you can catch them. I think it's every, like, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday.
Kelly Francis also, that's right. The unused substitute. Shasta to you guys. Adam Bremner.
Yeah, Adam Bremner, thank you so much. Andrew Johnson, who is here right now.
Hey, there's a lot of people from AJ. Brian G.
Oh boy.
G stands for Gully, I assume. Abraham Apoti.
Apoti, yeah. Minnesota United fan, Abraham. Abe. Shout out to Abe. Pete from the Manor.
Pete from the Manor. I believe from the Manor is German.
But Connecticut's own Pete. So all right, we'll shout out some other people. We owe you some shout outs, so we'll get through them in the next few shows. But thank you again for joining. Thanks for the support. Go check out that Julian Araujo interview, and we got a lot of really, really fun things coming up real soon. So stay tuned, everybody. So thank you again for tuning in. Bay Raguna just said, you guys reading off the people who got drafted to World War III already? Imagine this.
Hopefully not.
The draft is gonna be live streamed by two comedians.
Also, bro, if the names we just said, we're losing. No offense, you guys. Because if we're involved, it's a wrap.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you're listening to this podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or leave 5 stars on Spotify. Made it through. We did an hour and 20 minutes here with a cold. You love to see it. All right, everybody. Peace.